time for what we call an outtake, a perspective you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. Even though the financial meltdown has caused people to think very, very differently about policy and government and maybe combining notions of policy in ways that we haven't thought of before. Joining us now is Richard Lefrak, chairman and CEO of the Lefrak Organization, a real estate builder and developer here in New York and around the United States. We're spending $275 billion on a federal housing market bailout plan, but will it work? Will it actually keep people in their homes? And more importantly, will it encourage people to buy homes that are already sitting vacant, either because of foreclosure or because they haven't sold? Richard Lefrak, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
What's your suggestion to actually very, very differently approach this housing crisis as a way of incentivizing people to get into homes that are either abandoned or not selling?
Well, it's based on the premise that house prices are set at the margin. And right now we're in a non-virtuous cycle of falling house prices. House prices are going down. People's home equities are going down. People are feeling bad about not only their investment in the house, but the economy in general. And in order to fix that problem, house prices have to be stabilized. In order to stabilize prices, there are several ways to deal with it, and some of the suggestions made by the new bill that the administration has put out are costly and will be an assistance, but overall do not deal with the biggest underlying cause of falling house prices. That cause is the fact that we just built too many damn houses in this country, and we have a big oversupply of inventory that's unsold. And empty homes are the mortal enemy of house prices.
So what's your suggestion for creating a radically new incentive for getting people in those houses?
Well, our incentive is that the internal demand to absorb these empty houses will take at least 2 to 2.5 years to absorb the oversupply. And so what we're suggesting is that we have to look for some exogenous demand, outside demand, and that demand could come from immigrants who would come to the United States and be given access to this country. And I use the word access, deliberately, in exchange for buying a house.
Visas for houses.
Visas for houses.
So your family, your organization, Lefrak Organization, built Lefrak City, which is, if you live in New York, you know that there's these developments that are just enormous. You have Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village, and then Lefrak City is its own city and yet part of New York, also in Queens. I mean, are you seeing that a city like New York needs the immigrant solution? New York always has immigrants, or are you really talking about other parts of the country?
Well, New York has the immigrant solution because we're a gateway city for immigration, and anybody who visits New York, Queens in particular, knows that it's like the United Nations. But I'm suggesting that the inventory that's most prevalent is in Florida, Arizona, Nevada, and Southern California. And those markets are particularly desirable right now for, let's say, potential buyers from either Europe or from Asia. And we could attract buyers from those places to come buy up those houses, stabilize the housing prices, if we gave them some sort of access visa to get in, to have residence in this country as part of their house price purchase. Of course, they have to be vetted for their citizenship qualities, meaning we want good neighbors here. But I'm saying that that's a very easy and no-cost solution for us to stabilize housing prices, which will eventually rebuild the bank's balance sheets, put capital in the banks, lift all home prices for everybody, and also get people who are on the margin of deciding whether to buy or not to make a decision now, because house prices are very affordable now. And interest rates are very low.
Yeah, I just have to ask this question. I mean, couldn't there be a huge anti-immigrant backlash if you introduce people who come in, seem to have some money, which they would have to buy a house, but then there's a 10%+ unemployment rate by the time they get here?
Well, first of all, I'm not necessarily advocating that they come here to work.
But they'd have to do something.
Well, they can live, they can go to school. They have a lot of other things that they could do here. okay? These are not necessarily people that are going to come here and be fighting at the lowest level for jobs on automobile assembly lines or, you know, in construction. They're people who are going to come here that already have capital, that can start businesses, that have entrepreneurship, or have such a high level of skills that they would qualify for these visas that are related to people with extraordinary skills. I think they're called H-1B visas, which we give out regularly anyway to people with advanced degrees in computer science, engineering, and other disciplines.
Very quickly, this worked as a stimulus in Vancouver when it was tried at a very high level of the income bracket. Could it really work here?
Well, if you think about the fact that I believe our country is still the most desirable place for many people to come and live, and probably if you ask people around the world what's their second choice to have a home, meaning in their own country, where else would they like to have access, I think the United States would be high on many people's lists.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.